Log Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where have you been Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week? Oh, we've been so blessed as I have had a stand-in with our girl Shanti, and you have been blessed by the stand-in, Shanti. And what a week it's been. Now, I've been listening to some of the stuff that's been going on. And I have to say I was quite impressed. Now, I do know, you know, that she's a talker. So therefore, you know, I knew I wouldn't have a problem, you know, getting her to, you know, to chat with you in the morning in my absence. And I have to say, she did a fine job. Wouldn't you say, like, all right. You know, Monday, we had the relationship day. And she had a millennial question. And I thought that was, you know, was pretty interesting, you know. For the fact that it's a millennial question, and most of her I don't want to say guests, because you aren't guests, but conversationalist, her panel, only Vivian was a millennial. But it went over very, very well. Yeah. Don't you think? Yes. And Tuesday church folk day now. She really had a day because Pastor Ed was in the house along with Pastor Charlene and Pastor KL. And, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, when you have those three on. So, you know, and she kept up well. And yesterday with the ladies, now she's hung out with the ladies before, but she's never led the ladies into any level of conversation. So that was really, really good. Really good stuff. Really good stuff. So, you know, it's a blessing to be able to have, you know, someone to stand in who's very equipped, who's very equipped to, you know, handle when, you know, when you're away and, you know, when you're on vacation, you want to know that things can flow the way they are supposed to. And I was very impressed. So, you know, if you were not on and you missed it, I gotta say, go back and listen. I haven't said that in a long time. been a long time. So, you know, here I am saying it to you. You know, make sure you you get your listen on. Because if not, you miss a wonderful beginning of the week. All righty. So, you know, I trust that your week has been going well. You know, tonight is Lord's Supper. You know, for those of you who don't know, Lord's Supper kind of imitates what communion is, except for the fact that we wash feet and, you know, there's some other things that we do that, you know, puts an extension on it. But this is our annual, you know, way of blessing one another as we wash feet and we share in testimony and in song. So, you know, this is a big day. This is a high day, you know, where some celebrate Easter. This is the high day for the, you know, for those of us who are Sabbatarians. So, you know, I'm looking forward to tonight, you know, coming off of vacation. You know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So, you know, I look forward to sharing it this year with a fellow congregation. So, you know, we've got some things going on. We've got some things going on here. And it's due time with Pastor Steph Land. And I'm so happy to be back. I am so happy to be back. I enjoyed the time away. But, you know, I always want to be with my family. Always want to be with my family. So, you know, here I am. I'm back with my family. And, again, you know, it was left in very, you were left in very capable hands. And I got some story. Oh, my goodness. But before I even do that, I got some information that I know you can use. And so get them pens out. You know, I heard you had your pens out. You know, there was some good information Shanti gave out. Yeah, there was some really good information she gave out. And you are so loaded with information in my absence. So get them pens up. It's almost time for you to get some information that I think you're really going to need as well. So have no fear. I'm back up. I'm back running. And it's time to take that break. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that it's due time and Pastor Steph is on and Pastor Steph is back. And if they miss Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they got to go back and listen. And don't go nowhere because we'll be right back.
Irritable bowel syndrome can affect women more than men, although men do have it. Symptoms would include a pattern of altered bowel habits like diarrhea, constipation, abdominal bloating, abdominal pain, abdominal cramping, gas, a sense of incomplete evacuation, and a combination of all of the above. In addition, it occurs over a certain amount of time. And that's what qualifies it as being irritable bowel syndrome. Oftentimes, people can have an incidence of diarrhea or constipation episodically. But if we start to see a pattern where this is a regular phenomenon that someone is experiencing, then they should seek medical attention for that. You shouldn't be afraid to seek any medical attention for those symptoms. Oftentimes, there are treatments we can give patients that will make them feel better. So don't be afraid to come and talk to us.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to Is Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Thank you for that little, I was talking into the mute button time. And I got some information for you that I really know you're going to need, because this is one that we all, a lot of us, suffer from, and we don't see it coming. And that is diabetes. Yeah. We don't see that coming. It comes and slaps us in the face, despite the fact that we may be doing stuff to bring the diabetes on. A lot of times there are some signs that we don't pretty much catch. Okay? So I want to give you some signs that diabetes is on the horizon for you. Some sneaky signs of that diabetes, all right? Number one, how about that chronic yeast infection, ladies? Yes. They say high blood sugar from diabetes impairs the immune system, and it makes it harder for our bodies to fight off those infections. Okay, and chronic vaginal yeast infections are particularly common in women with untreated diabetes, because the extra sugar in their blood encourages yeast to grow. You know, we just don't know about this body thing. And check this out. They say other types of recurrent infections, skin infections, bladder infections, and guess what? That nasty UTI, that urinary tract infection, also is an indicator of diabetes. If you keep getting infections like that, definitely, definitely, definitely mention it to your GYN, which I hope you're seeing, despite your age. Yes, so make sure if you're getting those chronic yeast infections or skin, bladder, or UTI, you get it checked out, okay? All righty. Number two, blurred vision. Now, we've all heard about your vision going when it comes to those diabetes, that nasty diabetes. And you got to get your eyes checked on a regular basis, because when your blood sugar level is high and it constantly changes, it changes the lens of your eyes. Yes, and it gets cloudy, they swell, and now that creates a blurred vision. And a lot of times people don't realize that that's why their vision is now impaired. Okay? But it's not really that you need to change your glasses before you need to start treating that diabetes. Yes. And if your diabetes is untreated, they say that it can now bring on cataracts, glaucoma, and possibly blindness. All right. All right. Three. Okay, we've got that sexual dysfunction. Now, you know, we always cringe when it comes to church folk and talking about this sexual thing. We're not talking about that sexual thing. We're talking about erectile dysfunction. And that happens a lot of times with men. They cannot have an erection, or they don't get an erection any longer because of their diabetes. Okay, and they say 66% of men with type 2 diabetes experience this deficiency. Yes. I said we're going to put it that way, since y'all are always like, ah. Okay? So they say that they believe that the inflammation from the diabetes affects the part of the brain that controls it. Can you imagine? Wow. And they say low levels of testosterone may also play a role. So, wow. I didn't know that one. That one was new for Pastor Steph. All right. And number four, nausea or constipation. Excuse me. So they're saying that high blood sugar can slow the digestive process, making you feel nauseous, constipated, or sick to your stomach. And they say a typical gastrointestinal illness usually lasts no longer than 2 or 3 days. So if you have the nausea, constipation, or vomiting that lasts longer, you definitely need to check your diabetes possibility. Okay? All righty. Number five, slow to heal. Now, we've always heard of things like this, you know, when you're diabetic, you heal slower. And, that's what they're bringing out. They say the extra sugar in your blood when you're a diabetic is known to slow wound healing, leaving you vulnerable to infection. Yes. So you got to make sure you take care of all your cuts. Okay. Six. Come on. We're talking about those little sneaky signs of diabetes. Mood changes. Wow. They say if you find that you're more irritable or your family complains about your mood swings, that could be a possibility of diabetes. And diabetes also causes fatigue and will increase your moodiness. Okay. They say high glucose affects the brain. And they say someone with undiagnosed diabetes can't control their emotions. Wow. Wow. They say that once your glucose is controlled, that your symptoms improve. So that shows that your emotions are fluctuating with the glucose level. Wow. Didn't know that one either. Number seven. Unexplained weight loss. Well, what seems to be the problem with me? Because I just, as bad as my numbers have been, the weight loss ain't happening. Man, that's one thing that would have been an actual perk for Stephanie. But that ain't happening. I got to work hard to get rid of this weight. They say that if you're losing a significant amount of weight without making any changes to your diet or you're not exercising and things like this, definitely get your eyebrows raised towards the possibility of diabetes. So listen to this part. They say when you have diabetes, the sugar your body needs for fuel leaves your body in your urine. So your body begins burning fat and muscle for energy. Wow, they said that can result in quick and dramatic weight loss. I read it right, so maybe they just typed it wrong because that don't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know, maybe they meant to say blood in here, but I don't know. But anyway, unexplained weight loss. I'm rereading it twice to make sure I didn't read something wrong. I didn't. I can't figure it out. I got to move on. Just make sure you ain't got that unexplained weight loss in your life. You know, most times people are happy when they lose weight, but if you're losing weight because of this, then you're not doing well, okay? Eight, dark patches of skin. You see, diabetes can cause the skin in the creases around your neck, your armpits, or your groin to get dark and leathery. Okay? So watch out for stuff like that. For dark patches on your skin, okay? Nine, excess facial hair or acne. They say some women with insulin resistance develop thick, coarse hair on their faces because insulin can stimulate cells to produce the male hormones that cause hair growth. And they say these same hormones can also cause acne. So if you've got this sudden excess of facial hair or all of a sudden you got acne and you're like 57, then you're in trouble. But check out those that blood here. All right, you gotta check out the glucose in your body. All right, number 10, skin tag. They say another signal that you may have early diabetes is development of skin tag. They say fleshy growths often found on the neck, eyelids, armpits, and groin. All right, so make sure you watch out for those skin tags on your neck, eyelids, armpits, and groin. So let's go over these 10 little sneaky signs that you may have diabetes. Number one, chronic yeast infections, ladies. And that's also skin infections, bladder infections, and urinary tract infections, those UTIs. Two, blurred vision. Three, men, sexual dysfunction. Four, nausea or constipation. Five, a cut that's slow to heal. Six, mood changes. Seven, unexplained weight loss. Eight, dark patches of skin. Nine, excess facial hair or acne. And 10, skin tags. All righty. So, now we got stories. All right. So we got some things that we got to talk about. All right. Now, I don't know, you know, what you all have. I didn't look at a whole lot of TV while I was out on vacation. And I don't necessarily know what was on the news. But they say there's a woman who blamed her fatal crash on irritable bowel syndrome. Yeah. Now, here's the interesting part. She's also been in trouble with the law before, and she has multiple health issues. So this Julie Budge, who's 47, she was convicted in 2006 for some unknown offense. When they checked, they couldn't figure out or find out what was going on. They say that she had a Facebook posting that said straight out of addiction. Now, I know that, you know, we go through things in life, but do I really want to brag that I got, like, I'm coming out straight out of, you know how they go, straight out of Compton, straight out of this, straight out of that. She's got straight out of addiction on her t-shirt in this Facebook post. Then they say in September 2018, she wrote, been going through a bipolar episode since the 5th. New to me because usually I sleep. This time I can't and reached my limit today. Mentally, emotionally, and physically exhausted. So that was another Facebook post. And she posted on Facebook again. She's thanking people for help, for their support. I believe in expressing gratitude and letting others know their value as addicts, especially we underestimate our worth and our impact on others. Thank you so much. Well, on Saturday, she was driving and she struck and killed brothers, Adam and Matthew Bullard, 49 and 47, and they rode their bikes during a race, and they were in the bike lane, and she said she swerved the car and struck them when her irritable bowel syndrome kicked in, made her lose her bowels without warning. And she swerved into the two men, and when she struck them, she killed them. So now all of these things are coming out that she had like multiple issues with her health, and this is why, you know, this is just one of the things that happened when she was ill. And now these two men have lost their lives. Mm-hmm. She's also made numerous requests for donations to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And she's being held under observation at the Purgatory Correctional Facility in Salt Lake. Now, if I had to stay in a place called Purgatory Correctional Facility, I'd already have issues. But unfortunately, you know, this is what happens, you know, when, you know, they keep saying that this mental illness is straight. This is straight out of everything. Everything you hear, there's this issue of mental illness. They even went back to a post she had in July of 21 where she posted photographs of a gun holster and wrote, "Hopefully this won't be deleted. Adjustable holster. Probably a 9mm. Left behind by my ex for like $10. I have zero use for it." And, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm looking at these two men pictures, and my concern is, you know, all of these acts that are taking place, because of these people with this mental illness issue. You know, you just had the mass shooting. Thank God there were no fatalities for, you know, the guy in the train station. But now, you know, everywhere you look, every single place you look, if there's a murder, there's an issue of mental illness. And this was sheer negligence, y'all. This was sheer negligence. Sheer negligence where, you know, you're going to say that you lost your bowels. It caused you to swerve. And, you know, maybe she did. You know, we can't say that she didn't. But the problem is, do we really know? Do we really know that this is not just, that's why I kind of, and I stopped reading. They still had stuff regarding her mental illness or this stuff that she had been posting. And, you know, where does it stop? You know, all of a sudden there's this huge issue of these people in this mental illness, and now everybody's dying at the hands of these people who are mentally ill. And it's sad. It's really sad. So you got two people riding a bike, minding their business, the same way these people are on a train, going back and forth to work or whatever they, you know, they have to, whatever they're doing independently. And now, you know, these two men don't have their lives. And it's a casualty that it's really bad. And I think we're going to see more of this. Okay, so speaking of people who have really lost it, well, there's a Miami woman who strangled her two children with a red ribbon. Yes. Miss Odette, who's 41, they say she called 911 and hung up several times before the police went to her home for a welfare check. And she was saying in the phone when the paramedics arrived, she was like, "Come get them. I don't want them." And she was referring to her two children, 5 and 3 years old, who she had strangled with the ribbon already. So clearly she had gotten on the phone and she was making these phone calls to the police. And finally they went out to her house and they found the children. They tried to save them, but they said to no avail. And she told the detectives that she was having financial and mental issues and that the children were suffering under her care. Now, here's the interesting part to this one. A neighbor told the reporters that the mother would sometimes beg her to adopt her doomed children because she could not handle raising them. So what happened? What did you do? Did you think this was a joke and you didn't report it to anybody? The only reason why these children got attention after they were already dead was because she kept making phone calls to the cops, to 911. Now they say the father, the distraught father, showed up, but he didn't speak to any of the reporters. And, you know, it's, I don't know, y'all. Imagine somebody telling you, hey, you know what? Please come take my kids because I don't want them anymore. And said that the kids were doomed. She said the kids were doomed. They were not good in her hands because she did not want them. And clearly, nobody took her seriously because she probably wasn't complaining to this woman by herself, this neighbor. Now, okay, I'm not saying the neighbor should have necessarily taken them, but you didn't make a phone call because they didn't say that anybody had come out to the house or, you know, well, when she told me this is what I did. Because I'm going to be honest. If I had this woman tell me that she didn't want the children and begged me to take them and I didn't, I wouldn't have said nothing. I wouldn't have said a word. They would have just carted off these poor little babies and nobody would have known that I was asked to take the children and I just refused to do anything. Like I said, I'm not saying she should have taken them, because that's not necessarily, you know, what should have happened. Because I can't say whether she could have taken the children or not. But what you can say is you could have done something. And this, the way she spoke, in my opinion, this is my little people in opinion, you didn't do anything. Because somebody would have said, well, I made the phone calls, but nobody came out, or I made the phone calls and the people came out, but they left the children. You said nothing else past that. So that says to me that you didn't do anything, that the woman just begged and you did nothing. Oh, my gosh. So, again, another case of somebody who's clearly mentally ill. And can you imagine with a ribbon? And I'm saying, oh my God, this is not taking the Lord's name in vain. This is truly an oh my God moment. This is truly an oh my God moment. You know, this is bad. This is really bad. So we've been talking about bullying, right? And the effects that bullying has on us. Well, I got another story, y'all. Got another story. So there's a man in India. There's a man in India, and he's been harassed. He's 45 years old, and he was feeling, they say, distressed after his boss had been harassing him. Now, here's the breakdown. Because the wife told the story. So he was being harassed by the boss and the boss's aide for 3 years. He fell into a level of depression, and he was taking medication. She says he went into depression and started taking medication, and they knew it, but they continued to harass him. So he asked for a transfer closer to his house. And what they said was, we'll give you the transfer. If you bring your wife to sleep with us, we'll give you the transfer. So that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But he had continued and continued. This man, he was being harassed so badly that he went and reported this to the authorities. And the authorities did nothing. Well, now the authorities are looking to press charges on the boss and the aide, because when they said, we'll give you the transfer if you bring your wife to sleep with us, he went and got gasoline, poured it on himself, and set himself on fire. That was why I said that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And what they said happened was nobody helped him. He did this at work. He went to the job, asked for the transfer. That's what they offered him. If you bring your wife to sleep with us, we'll give you a transfer. He went, got the gasoline, stood in front of the office, poured it on himself, set himself on fire, and they did nothing. They said they sat and watched this man burn. They didn't help pour water on him. They did nothing. They said they just stood there and watched. And now, I'm a grown man. I'm 45 years old. And I go to the police and I say, you know what, they're harassing me. Well, unless they do something physical to you or threaten your life or something like that, it was probably nothing that they really could do. But there was something he could do. And that's what he did. He actually set himself on fire. Now, talk about, I'm tired of being harassed. This is what happens when you're tired of being harassed. This is a mode of killing yourself. This is suicide. This is suicide because of the harassment. And the wife said he couldn't take it no more. He called her, told her that's what they said. And I guess he didn't tell her that he was going to go kill himself. But that's what he did. I don't know. I got a couple more stories. I got a couple more stories that talk about this mental illness thing. So, this is a little gross, but we talk about mental illness today. Today is Therapeutic Thursday. And we're going to talk about how bad this mental illness goes. Well, they say 4 men have been arrested in this foreign country. I'm trying to figure out what foreign country this is because I can't even pronounce it. India. Again, in India. I can't pronounce this name. It is so long. But it's in India. They have been arrested for gang raping. Are you ready for this? A lizard. They say this particular kind of lizard can grow up to 5.5 feet and weigh almost 16 pounds. And these men gang raped her. Okay, you hear me, her. Gang raped it. And in India, it's a crime to do this. Yeah. They say that these men have been taken. They've been arrested, and they have gone to court already because they have a law that states that anyone who voluntarily commits intercourse with an animal, it shall be punished with imprisonment for life or with imprisonment of either description for a term which may extend to 10 years and shall also be liable to fine. And not only were they accused of the lizard, but also other animals. And how they found out was because they found pictures of the men sexually abusing this lizard on someone's phone, and also porcupines and deer. Those are the other animals. And again, people are losing their minds. They're losing their mind. So this really shows me what, you know, God has declared that enemy, the prince of this world, this here, all these stories, all these other stories Shaki's brought you, all other stories that I bring week to week to week, all of this stuff indicates that God has just lifted up his hand. Y'all don't want me. Y'all don't have to have me. I'm not interfering in anybody's life. And this is what's going to happen. He says, I will leave you to a reprobate mind. Well, baby, baby, baby. If this ain't it, ain't nothing else it. If this ain't it, ain't nothing else it. What in the porcupine? Don't they have the thing that stick you? How close could you get to a porcupine? Well, I guess they found a way. It's not a way to get to the porcupine. Now, my last little story here, I want to ask your opinion. So, please give me a holler. 347-285-7777. And I want to see what you say. Okay? So, here's the deal. Everybody knows about the man. You know, I didn't really cover the story purposely because, you know, I'm sure this is all over every bit of news. I'm sure this is over all over the internet. You know, again, being on vacation, I really wasn't, you know, paying attention much to the news and things like that. But I'm sure for those of you who have been on the news and reading your papers and internet and things like that, you've seen this issue with this Frank James, the shooter in the subway. Well, Eric Adams is really upset because his thought is, how come he was allowed to be on social media, him and others, but primarily him, since this was, you know, his thing here, his occurrence, his travesty. How could these people be online and they, and he was on YouTube, he's particularly talking about YouTube on this go round. How could you be on YouTube, do all of this ranting and raving, threatening, and all of this stuff, and nobody report you? And I have to agree with him here. You know, I'm doing a lot of that with Eric Adams. But I have to agree with the statement that says, if you play a song on YouTube and it's somebody else's pre-recorded music, now they're flagging me and they're possibly fining me when I play somebody else's music. So somebody got to be reporting me. Somebody has got to go somewhere to some main database where people pick up the fact that you're using pre-recorded music on your little itty-bitty show. How is it that y'all can report, you know, these people to the record companies and all of these distributors and all of these kind of people here, but yet you let these people who are ranting and raving and threatening and all of this kind of stuff, how do you let these people go? And I have to agree. I have to agree. You can't do anything these days. You can't do anything these days when it comes to playing somebody else's music, or either somebody's coming after you and you got to sit down and all of this kind of stuff. And now but yet these people get on YouTube and they rant and rave and they threaten people's lives. And, you know, after these people kill and murder, like it's two different things, you know what I'm saying, kill and hurt people, now all of a sudden they pull up all of these YouTube videos and social media videos and things like that. And it's true. They should have a responsibility of reporting this and shutting them down. Now, when they do the YouTube, I'm telling you, they flag you. And they'll tell you, you know, you use somebody else's video or you use somebody else's music or something like that. And they will shut you down. I know somebody who has gotten shut down on social media several times just for cursing. But what happens to stuff like this? How are they able to rant, rave, threaten people's lives and all of these kind of things, showing that they're a threat and a menace, but nobody ever reports them? So give me a call, 347-285-7777. Let me know what you think. Do you agree that these people should be reported? You can't just assume that they're ranting and raving and there's not going to be anything behind their rant and rave. Because too many people, after they've murdered or shot up or bombed someplace, do they find that these people have been on social media? Look at the story we covered where there was a kid with the gun on social media. How many times on social media do they pull up these people with the guns and all of this kind of stuff, but yet nobody has reported them? I don't know. Y'all help me. I got to find, where's my due time crew at so we can talk about this stuff here? Where's my due time crew? Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for helping me hold my girl down during the week. Truly appreciate it. And how are you today?
I'm doing well. And I'm so proud of her. She did a wonderful, amazing job.
Amen. Thank you so much. So, Pastor Charlene, we got like several stories going on here. So, who do you want to talk about? The woman with all the health problems who had the irritable bowel syndrome who ended up hitting the two bike riders and killing them, or the mom who strangled the children with the little red ribbon, the 5- and 3-year-old, and nobody reported the lady who she was begging didn't report her? Who are we talking about today?
Let's talk about the lady that killed the children. My heart goes out to the babies. This lady cried out to people, and nobody helped her. My first thought was of where was the father? You know, because I'm sure that she probably mentioned it to him first, and then he, if he's around her, he noticed, you know, little things that probably was happening of the depression. Right, because that's where it starts from. You start doing, you know, you start drawing back, you know, so different little things like that. So then with the neighbor, she's crying out to the neighbor, even though that you might can't take care of, And you're right. She should have called somebody and had them come over. You know, I have somebody that lives across the street from me, and she has these babies, and I think that someone needs to come. You, even if you stop a police officer in the street, you know, and where that they'd be able to come and help these babies. How long has she been crying out to them? You know, and
right.
like I said, you little things you notice. You just notice,
right.
you know, wow. You know, so where was the help at? You know.
It's terrible. Now, the last thing they say in the article is the distraught father showed up but would not give a comment to the reporters. And so clearly, like you said, he was around. He was around. And when she was depressed and all of it, this ain't no shock to him. I promise you that. I agree with you. This is no
mm-hmm.
shock to him. He's seen the evidence of depression. And it's funny, I just got finished talking to, you know, some men. And I said, listen, you better take care of mom. He's telling y'all, watch, you love your children. Watch mom. Take care of mom. Because the first line of problem, mom is going to give it to those children. And that's exactly what happened. She's been begging
Absolutely.
People. And like you said, you know, this was something that nobody paid attention to. And now you have two dead children because nobody took the time to pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. The neighbor said she told her the children were doomed. Please take my doomed children. Who ignores that?
Exactly.
Who ignores that? Oh my gosh, who ignores that?
You know, sometimes people think when people try to cry out to others and you don't pay attention, it'd be a lot of times when they say, oh, you know, they're not going to do nothing to the babies. You know, she mm-hmm. might be just saying that. She's just probably, you know, in that moment, she's not, instead of making sure, you know, take the kids for a little while. Maybe she just needed a break. Because sometimes, you know, you need that moment, you know what I mean, to get yourself together. But even in the mix of that, then talk to the father. They could have came together, you know. So he probably didn't talk because that guilt, one, that's one. And he saw the signs. And he did nothing
right.
because he didn't want to be bothered too.
Right. Right. There's nothing. You're not going to tell me he didn't see anything. You're not going to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to tell mm-hmm. me anything. And like you said, he probably didn't say anything because he was guilty. And he could say to himself, you know what, I saw it. I didn't think she was going to do nothing, but I saw it. That's
mm-hmm.
the bad part of it. All right, Pastor Charlotte, we got the four men arrested for the gang raping of the lizard, the porcupine, and the other animal. Or you got the man in India who set himself on fire because he couldn't take the bullying no more.
Okay. Let me skip that one. Let's go to the man that cried out again. Another cry out of, you know, being at work. And people are not paying attention and knowing that he's been abused. Now, it sounds like to me that not only was he being abused and by himself, where that everybody in the office knew.
Right.
So he done made phone calls, right, to everybody's boss, and nobody's listening. They know, you did say that they knew he was taking medication, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Medication for depression, they knew it.
Mm-hmm. And even with that being said, so they continue to abuse him. Now, even though that they said that they wanted to sleep with his wife, it had to be more than that for him just to set himself on fire. I think that that was, like you said, that was the cherry on the top of the cake, that they wanted his wife. But where was his wife in that piece of that it's gotten so bad that did he not come and say something more to you that, you know what, I'm done. You know what, this, I might not see you no more. Did he say something to that effect to her? You know, and just to set yourself on fire in front of everybody. And y'all still didn't do nothing?
Well, you keep in mind, a lot of times when it comes to suicide, a lot of times there's no conversation. You know, remember, a lot of people commit suicide, they don't know. You know, now you've left all your loved ones and your family and friends and everybody and your coworkers, you know, trying to find, you know, they're trying to find reason or when was this time, you know, that the person was, you know, going through something and we didn't see it. And, you know, that's what happens a lot of times. So there's not a lot of indication of the actual, you know, suicide. You could tell, you know, maybe somebody's upset or somebody's depressed, but the actual suicide movement and decision, a lot of people aren't prepared for, because it never appears as though it's that far. So he didn't necessarily have to say anything to the wife, but she's the one telling the story now. So she knows that, mm-hmm. you know, he was experiencing, you know, a lot of things. He was experiencing depression and, you know, taking the medication, and the people on the job knew, the bosses knew, the bosses' aide knew, and, you know, he's asking for a transfer. Now, you know, you're asking for a transfer, and now you know the transfer out of that department would definitely help you, but now you really messed up because you can't get transferred. So that means I'm going to have to stay in this misery because you are the person that wants that can transfer me, and you won't give me the transfer. Now I'm stuck to deal with your brutality, your ill treatment. And he was probably trying to vote for Campbell Mack. And he actually did it. You know, it doesn't say that she knew, unfortunately. It doesn't say she knew at all. And that's the sad part about it. Because that's what happens when people commit suicide. You never know what's going to be that breaking point. You know, so... unfortunately, you know, this is another, you know, end result to the bullying. You know, they couldn't help him, and this is what he ended up doing. Well, thank you, Pastor Sharlene. Mm-hmm. Thank you for hanging out with us this morning. We got some more conversation to be had. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. Welcome back. And I chime in. Chauncey said a thing. She really did.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for the compliment. I'm sure she's really enjoying, you know, the accolades. And thank you so much again to all of you for just hanging in there with her and helping her out and doing your thing as well, because that helps her to do her thing. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to be in the land of the living. Glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. All right. So we've got some stories to cover here. You've got the woman who hit the two men after she says she had an episode of irritable bowel syndrome and swerved the car and ended up striking the two men in the bike lane. and killing them. What kind of swerve are we talking about? Or you got the Florida mom who was crying out pretty much for help and ended up strangling her 5- and 3-year-old with that little red ribbon. Which one are we talking about this morning?
I'm going to go with the mom. A lot of times we, just people in everyday engagement, we're so busy handling our own affair that either we don't know how to help or we choose not to help, because a lot of times, sometimes when you get into trying to help somebody, you find that you take on not just a little bit, but the whole segment. Sometimes you might say something as simple as, well, I can't afford, or how do I handle, but we have got to, the way that mental illness is going on these days, if you see a sign, say a sign, do something. Don't just sit there, because as you can see, this is the end result. I'm so sorry about the children whose lives were lost. I'm sure that if she said something to a neighbor, she had to have said something to someone else, the father. I'm sure she couldn't have been just private. There had to be, if you're willing enough to go to a neighbor and say something, then there's somebody else, a sibling, family members, you know, and to literally say, my children are doomed, you know, mm-hmm. at that point, how can I help you, you know? And I'm one who's a major advocate. I don't have to know your child, but if your child is open enough to stay with me, hey, I'll take your child for the weekend, depending on, you know, my relationship mm-hmm. with you. I may even take the child for the summer, just because I'm looking at you and I'm going, you know, something don't look right, something don't, you know, she's not acting right, or, you know, the children are screaming and you just not paying attention. You know, those vital moments, if it's just a week, a weekend, it can be so helpful to a parent, especially if a parent has more than one child. You know, one child can pull, but, you know, more than one can be even more traumatic for someone.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the sad part is, you know, I agree with you. This, you ain't saying this to a stranger. You're not saying it to somebody you know. And, you know, just to think, you know, what are the people now thinking who actually did get that cry for help from this mom and ignored them? And now the babies are not here anymore, you know, so it's a lot of weight to carry, a lot of weight to carry for ignoring someone's plea. And, you know, like I said, I would never say that she should have necessarily taken them, which, you know, some of us would have. But, you know, if you couldn't do that, at least a phone call could be made that could, you know, or do you want me to call somebody for you, you know, something. So, you know, unfortunately, this is where we land. All right, we got the man who sets himself on fire after enduring the ill treatment from his boss and the boss's aide. And now that you ask for a transfer after taking medication for depression, and they all know that this is how far it's gotten. And now they're like, yeah, we'll give you the transfer if you bring your wife so we can sleep with her. You know, or are we talking about the four who have been accused and being charged with the gang raping of the lizard, the porcupine, and the other animal? Which one are we talking about?
I'm going to go with the lizard people. I'm not understanding, like, so they're, you know, you obviously, it's obvious that you don't want a relationship, you know, and to gang rape animals, a harmless animal that has nothing to do with nothing, you know. And my thing is, okay, I don't know how the lizard defends himself. I know what a porcupine does. How in the world did you get to the porcupine? I mean, you know, I know sometimes they don't put their quills up, but you didn't get struck, you know, they have a way of shooting off those quills when they feel attacked. What is it that you're doing? And I can't even fathom. My head hurts just even trying to think of how in the world you, it's a really sick thing when what, you go out in the woods and you find a lizard and you find a porcupine and this is what you do. You know, there's some serious sick illness and you take pictures. So that means you have the memory to keep with you. Where every now and then when you get that crazy feeling, you just put your camera. This world is getting sicker and sicker. And if you're not paying attention, now is the time to look and see how crazy, how far, you know. And 9 times out of 10, it started with a little something. And now it's porcupines and all kinds of craziness.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you done just really ran out of things to do. When you would even take the chance to be with a porcupine, you know, I can't even imagine this myself, to be honest with you. This is the weirdest thing that I have heard, you know, in a long time. And this, again, this really just shows indication, you know, of what's going on. So, you know, I don't know. I do want to ask you, and I'm going to go back and ask Pastor Sharlene about the Eric Adams statement. And he's like, you know what? Hey, what's going on that you can, you know, use somebody's music on social media and, you know, now you get flagged and shut down possibly, but yet you can rant, rave, and threaten to kill people, but yet nobody reports you. Well, what's your thought?
Well, I definitely chime in with that because it's crazy, you know. I work out with a group virtually, and a lot of times the facilitator or trainer, she's knocked off because of something as simple as playing people's music. She's got like a one-minute window now. You know, she's gotten to the point where she plays a piece of music, and just as soon as you get into it, she's got to switch to something else, and she's got to switch to something else. Something as simple as, you know, I posted something on Facebook, and Brother Al's response was, I should kill you. And he got a warning, you know, and certain things that you post, you know, you get flagged on, but somebody else can say they're going to kill, they're going to threaten. You know, they actually have knives and guns and a game plan, and you do nothing. So, you know, I'm not understanding how your everyday person who just wants to post a happy event with some music is getting, you know, either knocked off or flagged, but somebody can say whatever they want to say, do whatever they want to say, and it's fine.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do know about that flagging and stuff like that. And yeah, it gets that, it goes that far. And yet, like you say, how you get past all of that? I don't know. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll be back to chat with you with our main conversation. Let's talk to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I am well, thank you. I'm well. The you know, everybody's ranting and raving about the wonderful job you did.
Thank
for the past 3 days, you know, and thank you so much for holding it down. So now you're welcome. You're on the opposite side of the microphone this morning. What are we talking about? The woman? No, we got to talk. Okay, so now that Pastor Sharlene, I'm coming back to you, Pastor Sharlene. Pastor Sharlene talked about the woman, the mother, and Tamika talked about the mother. Now you got to talk about the woman who, with the irritable bowel syndrome, struck the two men and killed them after this history of issues that she's talked about her health, and now it has climbed to murder.
I was trying to figure out how. Now, I didn't have to go to a mean bathroom, you know, and you never know when it's going to come all the time. You could be walking, you could be driving, you could be sitting in your living room, you don't know when it's going to come. I was trying to figure out how, if I'm driving and I have to all of a sudden go to the bathroom like this, how this now turns into something where I'm like completely out of control with operating this vehicle. And, you know, it does. You do have to kind of get your bearings together. I'm trying to think about, like, one of the worst times I've had to go to the bathroom, and it's like, oh, my goodness, either I didn't make it to the bathroom or I just barely made it to the bathroom. But yet, I don't know. I really feel like this, a lot of the times this is used, these things are used as a cop-out to now have to take accountability or to own up to your negligence. Or, you know, you just not paying attention or whatever was going on. But, you know, just really trying to sit here trying to figure out, you know, and understanding how your body can, you know, shift gears. And, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh. And, yes, you're in such a hasty, you know, to eat. If you're close to home, okay, I got to hurry up and get home. Or I got to hurry up and pull over. Or, oh, can I make it to, you know, if you're driving in certain areas, can I make it to this gas station and praying that they have a bathroom? But for it now to turn into this whole big accident and people dying and, or I don't know about that one.
I don't either. And, you know, that's, again, that's a mean swerving that
right.
you're doing where you're going to actually end up killing somebody because you would have to accelerate.
Right.
You would have had to accelerate in order to, because if you're driving, first of all, if there's a bike lane, the speed limit is not 55, 60.
Mm-hmm.
The speed limit is on the lower side. So
mm-hmm.
you could pretty much kill, you might hurt somebody, but you're not going to kill anybody. So this had to be some acceleration. This had to
right.
be, this was some mean swerve in order for you to actually strike two men and kill them. Two men and kill them.
And I've watched someone, you know, oh, I'm driving and I got to pull over and go behind a dumpster because I just can't make it home. And no, that is nowhere near comfortable, you know, but again, I just pull over and whatever happens in this car while I'm pulled over happens in this car. Thank God it's only me in this car. And now I just got to drive home like this and make it into, you know, I hope you don't live in no building. But, you know, because then you got to really pass by a few more people than if you lived in, you know, in a home. But, you know, again, just trying to, like, really put all of this into consideration. And it's like when you know, everyone's body is different. When you're talking about you really got to go, sometimes you start sweating because you're trying to hold it and all of this. You already, your mind, you know, it's like I can't operate this vehicle. A lot of times the first thing to do is pull over.
Right.
You know, it's pull over because I cannot try to drive. How is my foot going to properly be put down on this gas or this brake and keep going back and forth between the two pedals? And my mind ain't right and my stomach is turning and my chest is pumping all hard. And no, there's no way you can properly drive. Like, it's no different than if you were under the influence or if you were sleepy. You know, you're noticing, okay,
right.
I'm swerving or, you know, I'm dozing off. Let me just pull over. So I'm really finding it, you know, a little difficult to understand how all of that transpired because you had to go to the bathroom.
Absolutely, absolutely. All righty. Well, the back two stories going on in India. You're either having sex with the lizard or you're setting yourself on fire because you can't take it no more. Which one are we talking about?
I'm not even going to entertain animals. I did want to talk about the bullying, you know, because again, people think it's a joke, but you know, I just find it real sickening that I can get arrested for having sex with this animal, but yet nothing can be done with people harassing me. And it's when you were speaking on it, the first thing that one of the things that came to mind was sexual harassment. You can do all of this with sexual harassment. We have to sit through these videos. We have to read these pamphlets. We have to sign off, and my signature goes into my folder. So God forbid something happens, you can go back to my folder and say, aha, you've been notified. You sat through sexual harassment videos. You signed the waiver that said you will not partake in sexual harassment or whatever. But if someone is bullying me, nothing can be done. There's something really wrong with that. And, you know, if they're saying, you know, well, with them saying, oh, we'll give you this, but we got to sleep, you know, sleep with your wife. You know, in these countries, you know, these are not necessarily idle threats. You know, all the time it's like, wait, you talk about sleeping with my wife, you was going to take my wife because I'm not going to offer my wife up to you. Well, let me just put myself out my own misery because I can't see myself giving you my wife, and I can't bear the thought of you just taking my wife, you know, against her will and my will or whatever. And it's just sickening me. And a lot of times people do these things because they can get away with it. There's nothing being done. So if I have the natural itch to bug you and annoy you and bother you, and I know I can get away with it, why not? Why not?
Right. And unfortunately, if you knew that this person had was suffering from depression, even taking medication, then your goal was to ride them to see how far you could push them.
Exactly.
So that unfortunately, that was the deal with that. And now you see how far. You know, he didn't come back like, you know, Americans do and kill you.
I was just about to say, Pastor Steph, it's all fun and games, so they show up at work with the trench coat.
Right, you know, and now they're killing other people because they're trying to get to you or because they don't care any longer. And if you even laughed at a joke or smiled at a joke, you're going to become a target now. You know, so unfortunately, you know, this is where you are in all of this. So with this Eric Adams statement, you know, he feels that, you know, hey, you can be flagged for playing a song and you know, infringing on someone else's creativity, but yet you can rant and rave. You can rant and rave and don't, you know, have to worry about suffering any consequences.
I think he needs to go.
Do you agree?
Well, before I even get there, just hearing his name and hearing that he had something to say on that annoyed me, because then it's like, are you only saying something because some of these comments and stuff were towards you, because they were? I mean, with the bullying, you know, where you'll waste your time doing something with this, but you won't make sure you do something about that, you know, and I agree. At the same time, realize, you know, what's going on. People can put up naked pictures and people can, you know, be on their, you know, whether YouTube, Instagram, whatever platform, they can do whatever, and people, the powers that be, pick and choose who they're going to target. You know, I've had one of my pages on Instagram taken down once over some, I don't even know what it was about, but I just sent them, you know, whatever I sent them, one little, like, okay, I don't understand what was the quote-unquote complaint about the, you know, and then I don't know where they restored my page. I don't know. So they pick and they choose who they're going to target and for what. And yes, you know, with the songs and stuff, you know, I guess they got tired of all the bootlegging, so they are a little more on point with getting to people with that. But a lot of times, this is entertainment for them. You know, the ranting and the raving and the death threats and the suicide threats, all that. It's entertainment for them. So they're not really going to report that unless they feel like it's towards them. And I'm not sure if the guy was on YouTube speaking about...
Yes, he was.
So I was about to say, I know I did read that at some point he was targeting Mayor Adams, but that's the only reason why he's saying something. He don't care. He don't care. Only because whether it was one comment or half of a comment was towards him, now it's, oh, something needs to be done. It's a bit quiet. If you really cared, you would put a lot of your effort and time into stopping a lot of these things at the foundation, at the root. YouTube is not necessarily the root. It's part of the, you know, angle and stuff, and part of the outlet, but that's not the root of it. But yeah, it's only because he was one of the people that was being targeted in these videos.
Wow, I believe you. I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Pastor Charlotte, I didn't get a chance to ask you the question, but what do you think? Do you think it's just a cover-up for, you know, him, you know, being targeted, or is this a legitimate claim?
I believe it is because of him. And that's why he said something, because, like you all said, this has been going on forever. So, therefore, why wasn't it shut down before? And because he named your name is now why it's so important that it needs to be, something needs to be done. So I agree with what y'all are saying, you know, and this as well as finding a person, you know, what they're saying, Big Brother is always watching. So they can find people for other things, why they couldn't find him faster. Make you think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something else came to mind as you all were answering. And, you know, Pastor KL is on, and I'd like to include him on this here. You know, I just read an article about, they said Eric Adams and Catherine Hochul, I think that's her name, the governor, the one who's stepping in, who stepped in for Cuomo. They're like, they're at the end of their rope. They're at the end of their rope. This has gotten so bad. It's almost, how do you clean up this mess? So I'm going to start with you, Pastor KL. Let me say good morning. Good morning to you. Pastor KL, are you talking to the mute button? Okay.
Yes, I was, and I had so much to say, too. Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
You know what? Good morning. How are you?
All right. I want you to know that today I'm not Pastor KL, but I'm Uncle KL because my niece did an outstanding job. So you see how they got Uncle Steve? I'm Uncle KL today.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's nice. Thank you so much for the
compliment. You made me proud of her.
Compliment.
I was so proud. So proud. Yes,
amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes. I'll beat her tomorrow, but I was proud of her today.
Well, thank you so much. You know, this New York subway system, this crime in the subway system has gone straight buck wild. This here, the man with the axe, and this one pushing people on the platform, killing. This has just been an entire string of madness going on. And they're like, you know what? These two are at the end of their rope. It's really nothing that they're going to be able to do. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I mean, I've been listening to it. You know, my parents are still in New York. My family's still in New York, so I've been hearing a lot of the stories. Yeah, this is outrageous, and I don't know how you can control this. I mean, even if you have, you know, extra security as far as police force on the platform, I mean, there are too many people in the trains. From what I remember, you have to have a policeman for every two people. And that's not going to work. By the time I get pushed on the tracks and you realize I got to push on the tracks, I'm already dead. Oh, yeah. I don't think they can control that.
So what would be your suggestion? What do you think they should do now? How if you had to be put in that seat immediately, what would be some of your thoughts as to how, you know, how do we move forward here? You already said you can't put two people to one, but what would be the recourse of, what would be the course of action?
I mean, for weapons and stuff like that, I guess you have to put, what they put the things in court, on the airplane, the things that you go through.
Oh, the mags.
I mean, that's one thing. Yeah, that's one thing, you know, as you go through the turnstile, you know, you're going to be, I guess, x-rayed to see if you got anything on you, you know. But then it's not going to x-ray your mental behavior, you know what I mean? So it's quite mm-hmm. difficult. That's the only thing I can see as far as, you know, weapons, you know, of some sort.
Okay. Let's see what your other panelists have to say. Tamika. You know, what's your thought? You know, hey, this is, do you think it's out of, so out of control that they're not going to be able to tame this wild animal at this point?
It's really, you know, it's really unpredictable. You know, you can't tell nowadays. You know, I've seen many a times where I've been on the train and, you know, you're on the train and all of a sudden just somebody just burst out and start yelling for no reason. Or, you know, they start, you know, with their expletives and they screaming and hollering. And, you know, it's you didn't expect that because you've been riding for I don't know how many stops and all of a sudden, you know, somebody just starts screaming out, you know. Some of the ways that you can help it is when you do see these screams out, because I've seen them plenty of times, you know, on the subway before you get into the train car. You know, everybody hears it before the person gets on the train. If there's a way to stop that, then, you know, before that person gets on the train, you stop it. But, again, you know, these are outbursts that come out of anywhere, you know, and I do like the idea that Pastor KL had. However, you know, I'm one who travels on the train on a regular, and, you know, I carry a wand, which I know would automatically go through the detector, you know, and other things to protect myself. So then here's the thing. How do you stop one person and let them go through or not? You know, so does my metal wand get taken? You know, a woman that's carrying a knife for her own protection, not that she's going to use it on an everyday basis, but the fact that she has it on her. You know, who's to stop? You know, how do you know which person is going to hurt somebody? So that becomes an issue as well. And, you know, how sensitive is this thing? Does it go off for everybody? It's just really extremely hard to gauge. It really is. And it's unpredictable. How do you know that this person is going to throw you on a train? You have no idea.
Okay. Shatice, you know, we're talking about this uncontrollable subway system, mass transit, where you've got from every angle, which way but loose, every borough, how many stops, how many stations. Is this completely out of control for Hochul and Adams?
It is, and unfortunately, because you intentionally sat by and did nothing, and it's almost like you have a child and you do absolutely nothing with them as far as disciplining, and now they get to the point where you're just out here killing people. Like, what are you really going to do with them at this point? And one of the first things that came to mind for me yesterday was like, so what, we're going to need metal detectors in the train stations, and that would slow down a lot of you know, because like I said, around our house alone, you go to one stop, there's four or five ways to get into this one train station, you know. So what are we going to have to block off four and only keep one, and have 2 to 3 police officers there scanning luggage? And, you know, because we live by the airport, so people travel over here with suitcases and everything all the time. So now you're going to have to scan and go through as if they were going through TSA and all of that. And it's unfortunately, you shot yourself in the foot with firing and letting all of these police officers quit because you were bullying them into getting vaccinated. So now where you had about, let's just say you had 100 cops that you would be able to just disperse and put on post at train stations, now you're down to 3 because of that situation. So it's just really, it would have to be some type of, and nothing is, you know, guaranteed, nothing is going to be 100% foolproof. But if you would, that's the only way I see of there being some type of screening, and that would really be a huge hindrance to everyone who needs to travel to school and to work and wherever, because, you know, it's a little convenient that there's multiple ways to get in here and, you know, multiple turnstiles and this, that, and the third. But now it's like everyone has to be screened. So now you're slowing down the transportation time. It's just a mess. That's the only way I see even 30% of it being handled, is if you were to be able to do something like that.
There's some stuff that you've mentioned, and it's going to take some backpedaling. But mm-hmm. said that's the only way to get it handled. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. What's your thought? Has this got a monkey that you cannot tame now with, Fehoeckel and Adams, and you will have to eat a lot of decisions that have been made, and what you going to do? What's the plan?
Well, I think that nothing will be 100%, but I do think that some of the stuff can be helpful. My thought was, yes, we will have to do the metal detectives to come through. Another thought I thought was that because the trains normally doors stop at the same spot. So maybe you're going to have to put some kind of a gate or something, of that. Definitely more force police in there. And then have where that they have, since there's so many people with mental issues, that maybe they have a team, of people in the train stations as well, and try to get those that will come out and then handle who doesn't come out. Nothing is going to be, 100% clear, but just as well as when you go to the courthouse, there's certain things that you cannot carry. Because it'll go off on the inside. So it sounds like soon it's going to be just like a little prison, on the outside, but how he's going to get it, he should have stopped a lot of stuff before it got to this part, but we take and we, somebody else comes into the seat and don't clear it. And then somebody else will come behind him that has it, so you got to come together and try to figure out what works, Keith, and what doesn't. Let's try to fix it, because some of that stuff they don't have to, but nowadays they just let everybody gets on the bus, don't pay, everybody gets on the train, they see the people hop, they turn their back, because they it's a lot on, it was stated that where it might have been 100, now it's down to 3, so people are doing overtime on top of overtime. So they're just as tired. But what can we do? I don't know.
I know. And the same way y'all are lost and we're lost, that's the same way they lost. Can't figure it out because, like we said, you're talking about a subway system. How many millions of people, they said millions of people ride these trains every day. Now, we know that it's slowed down because of the pandemic and people are not, traveling, that way, anymore because of the COVID situation. But there's still many people that ride this subway system. And for you to be able to tame this now, and again, there's that leniency with the gun laws and all kind of things. And you're going to have to attack this from many different angles. It's not going to be just from the subway system. You're going to have to attack this from many, many different angles. So I don't know. I don't know.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
One of my colleagues just got into work today, and he mentioned that they had police activity on the subway that we ride, because that is that same line. He was prevented from getting work today because they said that somebody attempted a copycat. So this is the world that we live in.
Wow, really? Wow. Yeah, this is something that, they're going to have to eat. They're going to have to eat a lot of this lackadaisical. You jumped in the seat of the governor and you had no experience, and now you facing something that's much larger than what you felt you were going to face. You have the mayor who is also doing the same thing, facing a lot of different, things. He jumped in, he going to do this, he going to do that. And before he knew it, it was straight out of control from many different angles. So I don't know. But I want to thank my due time crew for coming in big time for us. And
we didn't get a chance to speak to Brother Al today, but hopefully, you know, tomorrow's his day. So hopefully we'll get a chance to holler at him. Thank you so much. Have a
Thank
blessed
you.
Day.
Have a good day.
Have a wonderful
Have a
day,
great
everyone.
Day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're at the point where there's a lot of prayer we need to do. And let us hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Heavenly Father God, we come before you, and as always, we say thank you because you've been so gracious to us. You've watched over us, dear Heavenly Father, as we travel, as we sleep in our homes, as we even go to and fro from work, as we go about our extracurricular activities, as our children go to school. You just watch over us, God, and we don't even realize the things that you have actually rescued us from. But we say thank you. Thank you for the blessings seen as well as unseen blessings. Thank you for the investment and our conversations, dear Heavenly Father, that spark thought, that spark questions that, you know, move us into a different zone, God. We just thank you. Thank you for just taming our minds. So if there's 15 people on this line today, God, that's 15 minds you have tamed for the day, that we are not a menace to our communities and to this society, that we are not helping to make a mess, but we're helping to improve by improving our individual lives, God. And as we reach out and we minister to one another, God, we are helping our communities, we're helping our neighborhoods, we're helping our nation, we're helping our world, dear Heavenly Father. And as we get on here each and every day, God, we ask you to give us a word that we could now invest into someone else, that even if someone needs a virtual hug or a word of encouragement or some level of support, God, that we would stand at attention. And something we say would be heard by somebody else, God, that where there's a cry for help, we would be able to extend ourselves, God, and not be selfish. We don't have time. We don't have money. We simply don't want to, God, but that we would move into the direction of healing, that every single one of us can help to heal the next person, God, that we would hear that special word that was said, that the person was saying, I need, I need, I need, I need, and that we would stand to attention, God. And if we can't do anything else, we could at least pray and ask you to take care of the situation. When we've gone as far as we could physically go, as we could mentally go, as we could emotionally go, that we don't forget to call on you. That wouldn't even be the last resort, but that we would hear the cry for help and we would come to you first so that we could definitely take care of anything that we could on our level through you, God, that you could give us the best plan of action. Lord, we're dealing with a subway system that has gone completely out of control. But Lord, if enough of us call on you for help, you can turn this all around. We don't know how long this season is. We don't know how long you'll leave this be. But maybe that's what you're waiting for. Your word says, if my people who are called by my name stand up and salute me, call on me, turn from their wicked and evil ways, that I will help to heal the land. And God, this is what we're needing right now. We need you to heal the land. There is very little we can physically do, God. Even if we put the best plan of action into place, it would never supersede your plan.
it would never supersede your outcome. It would never supersede your thinking. So, Lord, we're calling on you, your people. We're calling on you right now to make the difference, God, because your people ride those trains. Your people have to go into that arena. They don't have any other recourse. They don't have any other mode of transportation. They don't have any other options, God. So we're asking you to protect all of your people. Protect everybody in this arena, God, who has to actually go down in this subway system, God. And we ask you to deal with your mentally ill individuals, God. However they need to be flagged, however they need to be taken in and given the attention that they need, we ask you, God, to just step in and to get the job done. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for hearing our cry. We're asking you, God, to just continue to touch our lives, continue to hear our cry, that we would not turn from doing what you would have us to do, and we would not give way to the enemy in any shape, form, or fashion. We need you. We need you, and this world doesn't know how to call on you because they're too busy. They're too busy serving the enemy. But we have made the choice to turn and to give our lives, God, and we're asking you that this makes the difference. That this makes the difference. We're asking you, God, to help us. Help us when we don't even realize we need the help. Help us when we don't want the help. Help us when all of the obstacles and the stumbling blocks are in our way, that we will continue to press our way, and we will continue to give you our life, that we would not throw our hands up and give up, but that we would reach out and we would continue to call on your name. That we need you. We let you know we need you. And we would not be ashamed to tell someone about how good and great you are. Thank you. Thank you for answering our prayers thus far and keeping us safe, keeping us at bay where we could be any of these individuals. But you have kept us under control. You have kept your finger on the pulse of our life. Thank you. We give you the glory and the honor, God. So rightly do your name, and we won't fail or hesitate to serve you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, thank you. Oh, we have discussed so much today, and it really shows a mental breakdown. And again, we don't know how we got this far, except for the sin has taken over the land. And I honestly believe I've said this to you many times, I honestly believe that this is the result of us saying no thank you. That this is the result of us willingly saying we don't want God. And God, being the gentleman he is, has said, you know what? It's okay. It's quite all right. If you don't want me, you don't have to have me. You know, we have to look out for our children. We have to look out for our loved ones. We have to look out for our coworkers. And I think if we continue to keep our eyes open, keep our hearts open to God, we can make the difference in this land. You know, we were talking about the mom who was crying out for help, who said, you know, these children are doomed. Can you take them? Can you help me? And what happened? She got nothing. Or she, whatever she got wasn't enough. And that's why we need to keep our ear to God. That's why we have to stay prayerful. Because we need to make sure that we're doing everything that God has given us to do. We cannot exact our own plan. And this is one of the reasons why this system, this subway system is out of control. Because we have the people at the top who don't serve God. And as long as we don't serve God, we cannot come up with the best plan for not only just our lives, but for the lives of others. How can we come up with a plan that's going to take care of other people's lives when we have not given our life to God, who will help to take care of our life first? If you can't take care of your own life, you cannot take care of someone else's life. And that's what happened with Mom. Mom says, listen, I'm financially ill and I'm mentally ill. I can't do nothing for these kids. Well, that's what Hochul and Adams needs to admit. I'm not equipped to handle my own life. And this monkey has gotten a whole lot bigger than what I thought. So let's keep our prayers going. Because it's going to be the prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, which availeth much. So let's make sure we do what we need to do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time, and I want to thank you for hanging out with us. Oh, I'm so happy to be back, and I'm so proud of my girl for holding it down Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Oh, please, make sure you accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life, where it's Freestyle Friday, and the men get to say everything they want to say. I love you.